today on CityCast Chicago. Cicadas are already emerging in Illinois, y'all, and we're expecting trillions more as the weeks go on. It's going to be loud, it's going to be buggy, and at least for me, it's going to be hella gross. But executive producer Simone Alisea talked with someone who's actually excited about the rare emergence. We learn why and everything else we need to know about our new noisy neighbors. It's Monday, May 6th. I'm Jacoby Cochran, and this is What Chicago's Talking About.
Nina Salem is the founder of the Insect Asylum, an insect and taxidermy museum in Avondale. Nina, welcome to CityCast Chicago.
Thank you so much for having us.
So some people are hearing about a bunch of loud bugs coming our way, and it makes them want to head for the hills, get out of town. But why are you excited about this emergence of cicadas?
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited because this moment is going to be a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Like, quite literally, it won't happen again for another 221 years. So this is truly one of these rare moments in history where we get to witness something absolutely incredible and magical that is like a pure, true essence of evolutionary nature at its finest.
What about it is so incredible to watch? Is it just the volume? Is it the type of cicada? Like, what about it is so compelling to you?
So it's the volume of cicadas that'll be emerging because we have two major broods coming out at the same time, which is what this the significance. It's very rare that these broods emerge at the same time because it's a numbers game. Realistically, it's the first time that this has happened since the 1800s, where the math has lined up, where we're able to see all of these species at once. And at certain points in the state, entomologists are anticipating that we're going to see up to seven species at one singular time, which is really incredible. Because the way that these beautiful animals developed was to pace and time out when they emerged, so that way they could continue to survive, because they are such a substantial food source to so many other animals. Essentially, they came up with this crazy adaptation of figuring out that if we all emerge at one time, we're all going to get eaten. So we need to kind of pace this out. And like, this is a perfect example of time management at its finest, where these guys are like, they're efficient. They're here. They've been doing stuff without us even knowing to help our environment. And then when they arrive, they are the embodiment of success and celebration. They're coming up to show face for the first time since they were essentially born, because once they hatch, they burrow immediately. So for the first time, they're now coming back into our version of the world to say hello, to create music for us, and to celebrate what few moments they have left in their history and in their timeline on this planet.
I want to get more into just sort of the cicada life cycle and kind of what exactly is happening when cicadas are emerging. But can you tell us, how are these broods of cicadas, brood 13 and brood 19, how are they different from the cicadas Chicagoans hear every summer?
So annual cicadas you can see all over the world. They're in all different regions, and they have that same gestation period where they will only emerge once a year, and that's how they keep their bloodline going. The periodical cicadas, that what's exciting about them is that they have this evolutionary trait, is that they have figured out, like, somewhere in their DNA and somewhere in their lifespan, they have adapted to know that they need to wait.
And how long are they waiting? Or is it 7 years? 12, what is the waiting period for these broods?
13 and 17 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. So, yeah. So like, there are whole eighth graders and high school seniors who were, when they were born, they're now graduating, and that's when these cicadas are emerging. Like, the whole, like, coming of age, yes, situations are happening right now.
Exactly. And it's fascinating to think about, like, comparing our lives in terms of numbers to what we've accomplished over this period of time to cicadas.
So we're talking in early May, sort of expecting the emergence to start anytime in the next couple weeks here around Chicago and Illinois. What exactly can people expect to see and hear when this emergence finally happens?
So that's a dynamic question. Other entomologists in the community are anticipating it to be numbers in the trillions, and that it's going to sound like 100 mopeds buzzing around the city, or chainsaws, or lawnmowers, that it will be that loud. Realistically, I myself am unclear about how much noise it truly will be, because our city has done a lot of development. There's not a lot of green space, so these animals need to burrow, and half our city is concrete. So when you mentioned earlier that people want to run for the hills, the hills have the most cicadas. The parks districts are going to see louder noise, but realistically, we're going to see them crawling up out of landscaping pots and, or not pots, but like, you know, like on the side of the street.
Oh,
the,
like garden beds and things like that.
Yeah, where the trees live on our sidewalks.
Like,
You know, anticipate seeing them there, because realistically, wherever they were laid during that time frame, that's where they drop and that's where they burrow. So if they had a place to burrow, that's where they've been living.
So as I understand it, right, the life cycle here is cicada eggs are laid in trees for the most part. And then the hatchlings drop and then immediately burrow into whatever ground is available. And then after the period of growing and feeding, doing it, resting, whatever else they do underground, they then are emerging from the ground. And the sounds that we're hearing are the mating calls, the mating sounds, and the communication of, we need to restart this life cycle and bring another generation into the trees again. Is that, do I have that more or less right?
Yeah, essentially. So when they're underground, what they're doing, they have a dormancy phase. They are also eating. So what they're doing is they are pruning the roots of our trees, and they're keeping our trees healthy, and they're drinking from the roots of the trees. So that's how they're getting sustenance. While they're moving underground, they're actually churning and aerating the soil, which allows for growth of the trees. And they're also helping with decomposition. Every time they produce fecal matter, they are adding to bring nutrients back into the soil, which is wonderful. And then after they emerge, the husk, the cicada shell that we see that looks like the cicada nymph, that has nutritional value that can get broken down and decomposed back into the soil. And then after the cicadas mate and then finally decease, their bodies go back into the soil. And so it's providing nutrients as well.
You know, you talked about the ways that cicadas contribute to our ecology, right, and help make our environment healthier. Are cicadas dangerous at all to humans?
No. So cicadas, they don't bite, they don't sting, they don't have nails, so they can't scratch. So realistically, the most they can really do is fly. They do have a proboscis on the front, which is like a straw. And so a very confused cicada may try to stick you with their straw. But in my experience, holding cicadas for my entire lifetime, I've never once had a cicada try to stick that straw into me, because I don't look like food to them. I don't smell like food to them. You know what I mean? I think it is important to mention that because they're coming up in such high volumes, if you have smaller trees that you would like to protect, like their leaves and things like that, because again, they're not like destructive. They're not like locusts. So they're not going to come in and swarm. They're not going to eat all the vegetation, things like that. But they will sit on top of things, and weight does have variance on small like saplings and things like that. So what's very simple thing you can do is get some tulle, the one that they put under the dresses.
Yeah.
You know, you get that, you cut it to the size of your tree, you put it over your tree or your bush, and you make sure to either staple it or tape it so that it's really secured along the seam and along the base. And that way, as they're emerging and they're coming up, they're hanging out on the collective tulle instead of in each individual little branch. And you can reduce visual harm to your plants by doing something like that.
Yeah. Well, and it's also worth noting too that, you know, the spots of where the biggest concentration is going to be is where these two broods overlap. And I believe the prediction right now is that, you know, while the Chicago area is going to see a lot of brood 13, that you're not going to see as much overlap. The overlap's going to be quite small in Illinois, that there's like kind of like a tiny little area in like central Illinois where that overlap is going to happen.
That's correct.
Do you know about how long will these cicadas be here mating and making noise and hanging out with us?
I'm assuming approximately 3 months, because they're all going to emerge at different times and different points of their life cycle based on when they originally hatched and also temperature. So temperature and humidity play a big part. The soil needs to hit 64 degrees in the layer of soil that they're living in for them to know that it's time to come out. And so we've had some really inclement weather lately. We've had some warm weather, but we've also had some really cold weather. So I'm not sure when they're going to come here, but when they come here, they're not here for a long time. They're here for a really good time.
I gotta say, having this conversation does make me feel a little bit more excited. I feel like I kind of know what's happening, and it does feel like, you know, it's like we had a solar eclipse last month, and like that was an event, and a natural event, and this feels like a natural event that will be fun to watch.
Yeah, things that we don't understand are always going to feel a little scary, right? So if we don't take the opportunity to learn about the cicadas, for example, I could see it being an extremely overwhelming thing. However, we all have been brought up to know the significance of the solar eclipse and that the world isn't ending. But if you didn't have some kind of understanding and knowledge to that moment, it could be a really scary presence too. So I think what's important is to be mindful about, like, sometimes if we just have a little bit more insight into what's happening in the world around us, because we're all sharing the world together, it might take those really uncomfortable moments and turn them into moments of enlightenment and joy when we recognize the purpose of those moments.
I think that's really well said, and a really great point. To that end, how are you and the Insect Asylum planning to celebrate the cicada emergence?
Oh my gosh, we're so psyched. We're doing so many things. I kid you not, I haven't slept for a month. Our entire team has been putting in overtime to prepare. We are doing a giant community art project called the Cicada Parada. So we have created a whole bunch of cicada sculptures with the partnership of another organization called Forum Stone Castle. And so we are selling plaster cicadas, we're fostering out plaster cicadas, and we're inviting other organizations to come in and sponsor these cicadas. The entirety of the project is so that way we can have artists paint these beautiful sculptures and have them hung all throughout the city and the suburbs of our region. And then after the fact, if somebody wants to donate their sculpture back to our museum, we're going to have a gala in, we're thinking October or November, where we will be auctioning off all of the cicadas that have been donated back to us to help build a rooftop garden on top of our museum for our entire community to enjoy and appreciate, to learn and grow, and to utilize as a space of cultivation. So we have a lot of things coming. Everything will be posted on our website under the Cicada Fest page, as well as our events page and our Eventbrite. So you have access to that information. As soon as we know it, you'll know it.
Nina Salem is the founder of the Insect Asylum in Avondale. Thanks so much for joining us on CityCast Chicago.
Thank you so much again. We're so excited to be here.
Before I let you go, for more news, events, and neighborhood guides, head over to our website, chicago.citycast.fm. And while you're there, subscribe to our daily newsletter, Hey Chicago. Good news. It's Teacher Appreciation Week, and I want to give love to all my teachers, adjuncts, school admin, staff, and everybody in between. I've had a couple great teachers my time in Chicago, from St. Etherita to Mount Carmel all the way out to Ridge Central. And I want to hear from y'all. If you got a teacher you want to show love to this week, send us a text or voicemail at 773-780-0246, and we're going to put it on the podcast. As always, we appreciate you for listening and reading. We're going to be back bright and early tomorrow. I'm going to talk to you then. Peace.
I do not recommend eating city cicadas. They have been living in our filth for a long time.
I guess that's true. If they're emerging from where the trees in the sidewalk, I guess it's not the dirt that maybe I would eat immediately.